I have a couple questions for us today. How and why do we pray? Or perhaps the question should be, why are we told to pray? Because we're told in multiple places to pray, an example being 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. We'll just hear it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God and Jesus Christ for you. Pray without ceasing. Why are we told to pray is a simple question about a basic topic. We learn or relearn parts and points we have when we focus on those points. The simple and the basic are the building blocks for the complicated, the complex, and things that we hopefully will figure out in the future. So why are we told to pray? Because in everything our Father tells us to do, there's a point to it. There's a benefit to us if we follow the thing God tells us to do. There are negatives if we don't. In Ecclesiastes, we're told there's a purpose for everything. So what's the purpose of prayer? It can be telling to look at why and what we most often pray for or how we pray. Please turn to Matthew 6. Here in Matthew 6, verse 5, we see what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer in the world, but it's like the framework of how to pray. He's teaching them how. Here Christ giving instructions on how to pray, how not to make a big production of our prayers, to pray in private, to not use vain repetition. Honestly, this passage can be broken down into two parts. Verses 5, 7, and 8 deal with what not to do. Verses 6 and 9 through 13 tell us how we should pray. So let's start reading in verse 8. Matthew 6, 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need of before you ask him. We might not know what we need. We might think we know what we need, but we don't necessarily know what we need. God does. I don't know about you, but that particular passage can be really calming to me in times of stress. One of the keys to understanding prayer is to realize prayer isn't for God. It's to God. It's to God we pray, but prayer is mostly for us and the people around us. Even those times we're praying for others, there are benefits to us in praying for others. God's like a parent who knows how you've screwed up your life. He can see it. He's just waiting for you to come to him. Come to him for his help. I know personally, I hear advice that I ask for with a much more willing heart than advice that's just given to me out of nowhere. The model prayer here tells us how to structure prayer, but in examining how will also tell us to allow us to learn more about why we pray. So verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This signifies who we are speaking to. God. And the relationship he has offered to us. Just like we can speak to our physical fathers, we can speak to God, our Father in heaven. In some cases, it's easier to speak to God because our physical fathers are not perfect. So there are things we can picture that they've done or said that make us question whether they can help us. Matthew 6:10, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come is easy. As followers of Christ, we should long to see him return as soon as possible. That's why we need to be focused on growing, in understanding and acting on what we learn. your will be done is easy to look forward to, because right now, even if we're protected, and in all the trials and tribulation in our lives, we are still protected. There's so much pain. There's so much evil in the world. Imagine when God's will is followed here, as in heaven. 11. Give us this day our daily bread. This one is harder. To ask for what we need day to day is not comfortable. Much of the world lives a day-to-day existence. We in this country are blessed by so much, we don't even understand day-to-day existence. We should feel free to ask for what we need, a little more than we need. We can ask for more if we want. We just need to understand God doesn't necessarily see us having the same needs. Our Father's generous, but he's not a vending machine. We don't drop a prayer into a machine and look for our reward, reach down and collect what we're going to receive. We need to avoid selfish prayers or having a list of gimmies. God, I really, really want. The whole point of asking for our daily bread is to rely on God daily. It's almost like relying on him like a child relies on their parents. I remember living a day-to-day life. That existence came to me for a long time, but I remember during a time in my high school years. We'd moved away from this church area and moved up to Wisconsin. Living one winter in an old farmhouse with no running water. Carrying water from a neighbor's freeze pump. You know, we used that pump to cook, to wash, to feed the animals. Heating that whole house for actually pretty much the entire time we lived up there, so about a little over 2 years with a potbelly stove. I didn't understand for a long time as a kid why we ate so much stew, goulash, spaghetti, soup that was always on that stove cooking. My father could afford to feed us in that manner. So that's how we ate. We hauled and cut and split firewood from deadfalls across the fields from where we lived. And that's how we heated the house. We're living a hand-to-mouth or day-to-day kind of life. Even this year, I've been quietly stressing about the economy. The phone this spring wasn't ringing very often. I had two jobs, and neither one of them, actually combined, they weren't filling my time. But we had what we needed. Thanks to God. I would have been happier with a larger safety net. And I know God is the biggest safety net there is. But we don't have control there. You know, give us our daily bread. You know, we rarely see how his hand works in our lives. I guess that brings us back to his will be done. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Remember, the debt we owe God is our lives due to the sins we've committed. Christ's sacrifice can free us from those debts. But there are requirements. First, we have to repent and be baptized. Second, we're required to forgive. This is repeated again in verses 14 and 15. Why? I'll read them. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. We're required to forgive. The attitude of forgiveness opens the gate to God forgiving us. If I can be forgiven for my sins, how could I not forgive others who might have hurt me? We need to be careful to avoid being like the wicked servant in Matthew 18. He could not forgive small debts owed to others, which led to his master, who had forgiven him a huge debt, to change his mind. I know there is no one who owes me their life like I owe God mine. I pray none of us allows the spirit of anger, bitterness to come between ourselves and God. And that's what happens. If we can't forgive somebody else, that attitude comes between ourselves and our Father. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Here we ask for and show we know God can protect us. He can deliver us from all trials. Now, this was all about how to pray. Remember I said how and why. I felt we needed to get to this stage before we could jump into why. After all, prayer is an essential part of a life of a Christian. The more we pray, and the more we make prayer part of our lives, the closer we hopefully draw to God. A truly vital point of praying includes spiritual self-evaluation and repentance. Both self-evaluation and the spirit that comes from opening up to God are vital reasons we are told to pray. In that self-evaluation, with God's direction, it helps to shine a light on the areas in our life that need growth. We can see where we need to change. There are good and bad examples of how much the attitude of self-examination and prayer and repentance, not seeing where they needed to change, is where the Pharisees went wrong. They felt they weren't sinners. On the other hand, we have David's example. He was an adulterer, a murderer, and yet was forgiven. He did have to live through the pain his actions had caused, but he was forgiven. We will also receive strength from God to make changes through prayer. We can't do it without Him. In honest prayer, we open our hearts to God and His guidance. In prayer, we're asking for God's power and direction in our lives, for Him to guide our lives and thoughts toward a true repentance and a willingness to see God's way. Just like David, we might have to live through the pain caused by our own actions. I know I've done it and probably will again. But just like David, we hopefully will be forgiven. Jumping back into Matthew 6, let's jump up to verses 5 and 6. We read where to pray. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they might be seen by men. Assuredly, I say, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, do we just have a man who got himself in trouble? He was praying in church. That's kind of our synagogue. No. Again, we're talking about why and the attitude behind. And at this time, the why is wrong. They were grandstanding. They were putting on a show rather than conversing with God. We don't pray at God. We pray to God. We don't pray for glory. Or if we do, like it says, we received what we deserve, to be seen by men. We open services with prayers. We're seeking for God to be here, to guide what's said, to help us understand. That service and our Sabbath be blessed and by directed by Him, by His Spirit. We can generalize about the congregation and our needs and our prayers. For instance, I don't know that I've heard an opening or closing ever. There probably have been some where we aren't praying for those who are missing. Because we dearly want to see the people we're missing. We want the Nimitz's. We want the Mr. Black. We want them with us because they make us stronger. We feel their absence, and we know we're stronger as we're together as a group. The key is, as a group, asking for God's presence. It's services. We're not performing for each other. We're inviting God to control our family meeting. Matthew 6 tells us a lot about how to pray. It's an outline that follow that can help us understand a personal relationship with God, our Father. Why does God tell us to pray? Because in doing so, we are forced to properly do the self-examination, spiritual examination needed to correct ourselves, to open ourselves to God, to be directed by His Spirit. Because in praying, we are granted by God the strength needed to change. In praying, we see that all good things come from God. If we cling to Him and we accept His control in our lives, He will guide us. In praying, we come to realize we need to forgive each other, to forgive ourselves. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do is to forgive yourself, to repent and to be forgiven by God. In the words of most parents ever, God just tells us to pray for your own good.